Hey, what's up, people? How y'all doing, man? Share this with 10 people on your phone. We got a man. We're gonna talk about something real interesting today. And I'm not gonna hold y'all up no longer with the long introduction and all like that. Without no further ado, we got a special guest. She go by the name of.
Hi guys, I'm Raven.
Hope. Okay, how you feeling today, Raven?
Feeling all right.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good to hear. So, you know, first and foremost, you got any social medias you want to shout out or anything like that where you could be reached at?
Yeah, definitely on Instagram and on Vigo, on Twitter and on TikTok. I'm all the same. So fly like a raven. I actually got this from, you know, Sugar Sugar by Baby Bash. Lyrics from that song, and my name is in it, so.
Okay. So, I'm going to link her Instagram in the description for y'all so y'all can reach her. She got a really interesting story, and we're going to talk about her come up. So, my first question to you is, how do you feel about pop culture?
I feel like I'm a little bit of a pop culture princess. So I'm born and raised here in Cali, and I'm the first to be, like, of my generation to be born and raised here. Like, my parents were immigrants, and I grew up exploited a little bit as a child. I was put into modeling really, really early, like age 6, 7. And then stopped, like, right before high school. It was a really interesting time because I was forced to be around a huge, like, diverse kind of, like, crowd because they wanted all the kids in the ads to be, like, represented now. It was kind of the first time people saw little Asian girls, little Black girls in ads. And I didn't realize that as I was going through it, you know, I only realized it afterward. But I was raised kind of like in a Crazy Rich Asians meets Keeping Up with the Kardashians manner. So yeah, I walk into my house, there's Disney everywhere, we're playing Fireball music most of the time. My sisters look like they walked straight out of Brandy Melville or Aritzia. Like, you know, my son talks like a gamer. What more can I tell you? It's like the things of pop culture that my family loved. Like, in a week, they're cool now. When I was younger, it wasn't super, like, cool to, like, you know, be into sneakers and basketball and, like, be super Disney obsessed and stuff and, like, anime obsessed. Like, all that stuff is stuff that my entire life I've grown up in, and then now all that stuff's cool. So that's kind of why I identify. I have a hate-love relationship with the pop culture of this era.
Okay, with that being said, it sounds like you never got a chance to be a child. You were 6 years old. You didn't really have the experience of a regular childhood. So coming up and as you got older, how did that affect you? Did it take you on a dark as you got older? Did it take you down a dark, dark path and you still trying to climb out of or... What was the other side of Hollywood that a lot of people don't have the guts to really, really talk about?
Yeah, I think that one of the things was, like, being the token Asian, you know? Definitely experience, like, there's pros and cons to this, I have to say, because as a kid, because I was so put in, like, very... kind of forced to be accepting and diverse, right? Like, it made me have a lot of confidence in myself everywhere else I went. And it didn't feel weird to be the only Asian. I didn't really, a lot of the times, feel like I was being counted out. If anything, I was kind of special, right? But then when I stopped modeling and I came to school full time, it was about like eighth grade high school. So here I am, 14 years old, thinking that, like, oh, I can hang out with whoever I want because, you know, I get along with everybody. I'm, you know, like, that's what the world's like now. But no, and then I come back to San Diego, where I was raised, and everything's super segregated. And suddenly, like, I go up to talk to this white girl at my school, and they literally look at me and they're like, are you lost? And I'm like, no, but I was gonna ask you a question, like, do I look lost? So, and it was like really kind of jarring to me. And then all of a sudden I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll go hang out with the Asians. So then I tried to go hang out with the Asians, and then they objectified me to the point where, like, they'd follow me on all my social media and talk about me and tweet at me and stuff, but then not talk to me in person. And if I tried to go up to them and say hello, because I recognized them from them following me, like, they would literally, like, giggle to their friends and, like, run away. And I was like, am I funny? Is there something in my face? Did I, like, you know, like, what did I do to deserve that type of reaction? I'm a person and I just said hello to you. So that's when I started to realize, I was like, huh, I think that I don't deserve to be really treated like this, you know? And that 14, like, at first, of course, it took a while for me to understand that, but once it got to a point where they compared me to a popular, like, Tumblr famous girl, and then all of her fanboys started to bombard my social media. And again, like, this came, and you have to realize too, like, this came from admiration. Like, these people were like, yo, this girl's like a model and now she's going to our school. And they thought, like, they were like, oh, she's so cute, she's so nice. None of them talked to me. They had no idea any, like, anything about me. I mean, I knew probably like 2-3 people on a personal level at that school, and then all the other people, maybe I went to like elementary school with them, but no one really knew anything about me. So it was like weird. I had to understand, Raven, this is not you and this is not your fault, but at the same time you have to just kind of like deal with it now. This is who you are, and then people are gonna kind of, they don't know any better, you know, like, they don't understand who you are, so you can't take it personally that they don't want to, you know? They don't think that they don't understand you. They really think that social media is everything, and that who they see on their Facebook or your Instagram or your Tumblr, like, they think that's you. So they're not going to give you the time of day to understand you. And so, like, I learned it backwards, right? Like, most people grow up and, like, they're like, oh, they feel counted out, or like, I guess, what's the term I'm looking like, for? There's prejudice, right? There's like a prejudice. And this is where the concept of like a pretty prejudice comes in. I wanted to be a normal person, and then every time I came back to school, no one would treat me like a normal person. Like, just because I was, you know, like, just because, what, I, for, you know, like, have a certain calling. So I definitely, that was probably the most backwards thing that I had to experience. Also that, like, in order to be an entertainer, you really have to have a certain personality. You really have to either be so narcissistic that only you care about what you think about yourself and love yourself that much, or you have to really not give any fucks, like, about what anyone else thinks about you, and be so confident in who you actually are. Like, what sucks is that any insecurity and any any sort of lesser worked on part of you, oh, it's compared to everyone who in Hollywood. And then, like, it already looks like they have their life together, too. So you feel even worse about it. I think that media has created this larger-than-life personality of people who are in the entertainment industry. And it's fake. It's fake. We're not super people. If anything, we're put through the ringer more because now we have to deal with everyone else who doesn't know this opinion being out there in the public. Takes a lot of mental strength and if not like lack of trauma, then your trauma has to be a propeller to it, if you know what I mean. Like your daddy issues may help you get further in the industry because you seek people who give to you more than you give to them, say, per se, right? And then I realized, now that I'm older, I'd walked through life with this conceptual, like, concept of, you have to be kind of like, you know, narcissistic. You have to be kind of a bitch to survive in the entertainment industry. And I realized that I was doing exactly the same thing that I hated that those people in high school did to me. Is I was putting a prejudice on it because of what I experienced. And I was like, that's so freaking hypocritical. Like, and now that I'm older, I really realize that, like, I am blessed to have lived through all that and to have been one of those people that experienced it. And now I do have this kind of weird backwards upside down story to tell. That kind of, I guess, helps people understand a different perspective on, like, I hear stories about, like, oh, like, Drake was a planted star or whatever, and, like, all these people, like, these people were planted industry people, and it's, like, okay, like, that doesn't negate that they're human, and that we shouldn't understand that they are human, you know? So, like, yeah, that's, like, a big one. But I think that's, I'm still kind of learning now. I'm watching people like K-pop fans and like anime fans come out of their little like hidden shell. And now they're kind of almost so proud to be them that it's out of proportion. And I see them like looking at these people in real life and not looking to see them as a person. Like, I can't imagine, like, standing in front of someone, if you admired me, and you screaming in my face, you know, like, that's a strange way to show that you like me, you know? So, I think, yeah, that's the biggest thing. The separation is fake. The romanticism of them being larger than life, it's all fake. We are people, and the fact that they try to make them look like they're not is just making them look like a well-oiled machine. And I think that, like, on period, people, not only does Hollywood try to hide it, but it's a big point of, like, that could make mad profit for you, for Hollywood, if they showcased, this girl's just like you. It's like, you know, like, yeah. And so my strength really comes from probably I'm a Pisces moon, first of all. I'm overly romantic. So, like, I always think, but wait, there's more. There has to be more. And, you know, there really is. I believe there really is. I do. I'm Christian. Actually, I should clarify. I am anti-Christian, Christian Club's founder. I'm just kidding. I just don't really agree with, like, the modern image of a Christian, and I'm pretty unorthodox about it. But I do identify as one, and so I think that my strength comes from the Lord. He's the only person throughout all the struggles that I've been through in my life. Always shows up for me. maybe not in the way that I expected, but always. There's always an answer. And it's clearly from him because I'm intentional about truth and living in it. So, also K-pop, just to explain, it's like the Korean pop, the music that comes from Korea, basically. It's very signature and iconic because of the way that they set up the system in the entertainment industry. Super big on like systems and knowing how they work because it's important in a lot of entertainers, I think, get taken advantage of at first because they join the wrong agencies or hang out with the wrong people because, again, people just take. My inclination to be hopeless romantic definitely helps me be ambitious, almost to the point where I can't sit still. Like, it's very rare that I'm living in a time of peace. You know, it's always something. If I don't have growing pains in some area of my life, I'm convinced that, like, I'm already being complacent with something that's dark, you know? I wouldn't really say, though, that Hollywood was bad to me. I honestly can say that I look back on those times, that era of my life was probably the highlight of it. And that's strongly because I think that my calling is to, like, be an instrument of to reach people. So whether it be in front of the camera, behind the camera, in marketing, my voice, my face, my styling, whatever, I know I have a vast set of skills to offer because I've intentionally spent time to build these foundations. So I did more, I did a ton of print and SAG. I didn't do a lot of TV. Just because, again, this is, like, really, really early for us to see these types of people represented in common shows nowadays, right? I had contracts with Disney. I had contracts with Target, with Mattel, H&M, Marshalls, Nordstrom, mostly for print. I did a lot of Party City. These are just like random ones I'm throwing out there. But yeah, it was so fun. Honestly, like if you're a creative, especially if you're into like the performing art side of it, because most of the time when you're a kid and you're modeling, all they do is they like put a camera up in a setting, put you in their clothes, and then be like, all right, pretend this is happening. Usually they just have you play. You're a kid. They want to, you know, like that's how they advertise things for kids, is they make them look like the kids are having fun and they're playing. So most of my time was spent like that. I should mention this. Or maybe I could pull it up. I'm going to play a video for you guys so that you can see my claim to fame. And this is probably just, like, the funniest thing that I was in. And I like to show people this is the thing that probably you'll resonate with. Look who this is. So funny to watch this because I'm literally 9 in it, and this is Kids Bop 9. I don't feel. Yeah, I just showed the Kids Bop 9 video, right? It's so funny because I really felt like I was able to be the most childish then. Because literally people were like, dude, just be a kid, and then we're gonna use it in ads, and it's gonna work. That's kind of when I realized too that my disposition in the world as an Asian American female in content creation, in media, whether it be social media or you know, SAG media, like, that is important. Like, that's why I really love to encourage. I really am super big on supporting minority business, whether it's your race, your gender, like your medical condition, whatever, right? Like, I think that voices that have been silenced just have not been put in the atmosphere to be heard. And I think that's clear. I think we're all, like, most people will be like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. But, yeah, I didn't realize I was learning that, you know. I learned it at a very young age. And it got me through a lot of, like, phases in adolescence where normally you'd have, like, an identity crisis and an insecurity. But that's probably one of the things that I've always known, was that, like, my existence is unique and relevant.
Okay, I got a question for you. I'm gonna ask you a couple questions, right? Do you feel like, and just hold on, just hold off, I want you to listen to the question. Do you feel like your parents were, because you were so young and they just like kind of threw you in there, do you think your parents was trying to live vicariously through you? And doing this business, I was wondering, like, have you seen or heard of anyone from the pressure that you was close with, that you knew, and you, have you seen or heard anybody almost committing suicide on the verge of depression at a very, very young age because of the pressure from the industry, from working in this industry?
That's a very good question. So some notable names that you guys may recognize, the people I worked with as kids, right? Like Bella Thorne, Boo Boo Stewart, Taylor Lautner. Like, these people were all kids the same time I was a kid. So we, like, crossed paths a lot at, like, auditions and things. Bella specifically was in my, like, they was in my agency, so we were lumped a lot in work. And I wouldn't say so much suicide, because these kids, you have to understand, these kids had go-getter parents. These kids had parents that invested time and money and energy in them. Like, it's a lot to be a child model, for the parent, I think, even more than the kid. My mom says that I don't remember this, but I don't doubt it at all. It's totally something I feel like I would say as a kid. I begged her. I knew I was singing since before I could talk. Actually, no, I take that back. I was a weird child. I started talking at freaking, like, 8-9 months. I was strange. My parents would, like, take me to the restaurant, and I'd order for myself, and then all the waiters would come and be like, you have to see this talking baby. Like, I was a weirdo, and from the start, and so, like, I can't deny that. Yeah, I totally would have begged my mom, like, if I had the chance to be an entertainer, throw me in there. So I think, I don't think so much that my parents were trying to, exploit me. However, I do fear that a lot for the industry today, because it's so easy to, like my son has an Instagram, but I don't advertise it very much. I don't post a ton of content with him, even though he's the cutest, like, ball of sunshine and, like, just a breath of fresh air. I am afraid that that'll happen, you know, because it's vicious out there now. It's not the same industry that I was in, for sure. social media did not exist back then. The industry was a lot smaller. You knew everyone when you went to other agents, like other auditions. You ran into the same people. It wasn't like how it is today. And there's no way that a lie or even a rumor would get as far in shutting someone down back then, if that makes sense. So the industry was not volatile at all, really. It was pretty consistent. It was hard to get into. Your parents really had to work their magic, because I had to get a special contract for school that I constantly had to get check-ins for. I had to be in constant communication with my agent and my teachers and the school staff. I had to get a license to work, you know, had to get a Coogan account. There's a lot of moving pieces. And it was sound until I think social media kind of came around, and then that's when it started to get scary, and exploitation started to get a lot more common. I'm afraid to let my son do it, because my son today, he begs me. He literally begs me to start streaming. He loves video games, but he's not just a video game player. He loves to sing, he loves to dance, he loves to talk to people and engage in conversation. I can't take the dude to the grocery store without him making friends. Like, everything with him, a Coogan account is a special account in the bank where you can't, it's obviously made for a child, and you can't pull the money out until they're 18, or you have to have their consent, potentially, right? They can sign it off for whatever special reason, but it's made to be held. So I'm sure there's like more details on, I don't know exactly like the interest rate or whatever, but it's like basically like, okay, it's a savings account, you can't pull from it, right? Another thing about the industry is, since I was literally every other week, I'd be out of school for at least 3 days of the week, maybe four. Or probably the whole week. If I was going to spend 4 days out of the week, you'd just be like, fuck it, we're just going to go to Disneyland the last day, you know? I had to go to school on set for like two hours per, I think it was like, per 8 hours that I worked. Did that happen consistently? Hell no. That was kind of like the shady part, probably, was like the foundational education and like the, but I think they got a lot, they were very diligent on being like, hey, you have to, if you're not working and you're not getting dressed, you have to sit at the school table, you have to be working, you have to play one of the games or the worksheets or the coloring sheets that they brought or something, you know. It's like, yeah, I don't think that my parents particularly, I was blessed, I had a good set of parents. Okay. They didn't force me, so.
Okay, yeah, because I hear so many stories where the kids are being forced, and by the time they're a teenager, they're burnt out, they're rebellion, they doing drugs, they smoking, they drinking, they just lost, and they adolescent, so they still trying to find who they are and figure all that out at the same time, and they just really, like, I look at and your story, I'm listening to your story, and it keep making me think of how Michael Jackson was kind of like, he used to always say like he was robbed of being a child, so as he got older, as an adult, he did more childlike things.
He did, you know what he did? He paid people to act as if they were regular people at a grocery store. He couldn't go to the grocery store, you know that, ever since he was a kid. So he wanted to know what it was like to go grocery shopping like a normal person. He paid all these actors, rented out the grocery store and everything, and paid these people to act like they were just workers or other people in the grocery store and went grocery shopping. Like, he had to simulate what it was like to be a normal person. And I think when I was in middle school, I I had my first like dose of what I was think I think exploited to was the dangers of the internet and social media. I'm super, super techie ever since I was young, so I got onto the internet, started talking to strangers, you know. And I realized how and got caught, and then realized how dangerous it was. And then my mom sat me and my siblings down and made us watch Dateline like marathons, and that was traumatizing. But it was mostly like my mom made me fear the danger so much that I feel like I overly romanticized my childhood in my head. And the traumas that I did suffer from, I had to go through therapy, you know, to as an adult to get through it. I didn't realize really how much that bullying incident in high school bothered me until after I was out of high school. But yeah. I definitely think too, what's hard for me is to separate now my purpose from my personal life. As a kid, going to modeling was like a treat. It was fun. I didn't have to go to school, and it was like I got told to play with my friends and put in cute stuff and then taking pictures of, and then my family, like my family members talk about me on Facebook, you know, like it was a fun thing to me. Yeah.
So you said it's hard for you to separate your personal life from your professional life, right?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. So, it almost like, does it make you feel, because you're experiencing those things and you basically grown up fast. You were an adult. When you was an adult when you were six. You had to be an adult when you were six. So, does that make you feel like you're living in a bubble? Because I always hear Eminem, he always, when he rap, he said this one rap where he was like, I can't even go to the bathroom in peace. You can't even sit down. You can't sit down and eat food like you wanted to. So my other question to you is, would you give it all up just to have a regular life and just to enjoy the regular things, like walking to the corner store in peace, being able to sit outside on your porch in peace? I always say you cannot put a price tag on a peace of mind, but I understand the industry you're in is like, you gotta have tough skin, and what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to give up?
Honestly, I don't think I would go back and do it all over again, for sure. Like I said, I have kind of a rare experience. It was the highlight of my life. I got to spend quality time with my parents on the drives. My dad would take me to Hard Rock Cafe or Universal. My mom would take me to Disneyland, you know, to kill traffic time because I didn't live in L.A. We would have to commute. And then I got to travel and I got to walk the Hollywood streets and I got to experience culture, the richness of it. I think there's some people who, again, like, the entertainment industry, you're either born with the personality to be in it, or you learn how to adapt to it. It's like, and the people who are born with it will always have it easier. You know, like that mental switch, it'll always come easier to them. I definitely wouldn't give it up.
Okay, so with that being said, you said you wouldn't give it up. You wouldn't trade it for nothing.
And also too, I really like how I wouldn't ever want to be remembered for who I am. I want people to remember me. If I die tomorrow, people can forget my name, I want people to remember me for what I stood for. You know? That's the one thing that I feel like, I always tell my boyfriend, like, I really like my privacy, my private life. I like to be able to, like, post silly, cynical things and not have sensitive public people who don't know me, like, get hurt by them. I like to be able to, I also have, like, social anxiety. So if I ever go to a place and I feel like, oh, this is, like, the crowd that would know me from Instagram, in the back, I start to sweat, subconscious, you know? It's like, it's not comfortable, but I think that I find a liberty in sharing my life that's more rewarding than it is invasive, if that makes sense.
Okay, so with that, or with all that being said, I was wondering, like, you know, like, have you ever seen one of those kids coming up be in a very vulnerable position and being taken advantage of? And if so, how was that experience, and how did you deal with it, or that individual deal with it? I mean, if you want to talk about it and you want to leave that individual nameless, you can do that. But, you know, I just want you to really go in on it.
I'll name drop, because she's doing fine now. She can take the heat. So remember how I mentioned I worked with Bella Thorne a lot?
Right.
She was a riot as a kid. She's actually one of the, like, for like 5 years, we worked the same contracts together. Definitely same person, like the same person that you see, like super, super edgy, out there, raunchy, kind of does her own thing, dances to her own rhythm. People can hate on her for it, but at the end of the day, she gets her bag and she's super talented. But so one time, and we're really young, she's younger than me by like a year or so. My friend Lily, who was my best friend for modeling, she was put, we're at like a Target shoot, I think. She's put in this cute little bikini. Mind you, too, we shoot off season, so like think like we're shooting for the summer while it's winter. So we're freezing our butts off at the beach in these swimsuits.